In Vrindavan, Prabhupada used to hardly sleep at night. One of us used to always be with Srila Prabhupada, even at night. My shift was from 12 to 2. And most of the time, Srila Prabhupada used to stay up. And these were the most wonderful moments for me also. Because often Srila Prabhupada used to just speak. He used to, just on his own, he used to start saying something. Sometimes I would ask him questions and he would reply. And the discussions would go on sometimes for a long time. And I personally did not want to disturb Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada often would just speak on his own. Sometimes I would see that from the guest house windows, devotees were watching Srila Prabhupada. Often during the summer time, not often, practically all the time, Srila Prabhupada used to sleep out in the on the roof. He used to have his bed. It was just a simple wooden bed, and there'd be a mosquito net because Vrindavan used to have a lot of mosquitoes, and sometimes Srila Prabhupada would just sit up and he would ask me to massage his back, and when I was not massaging him on his back or his head, I would massage his feet. And one day I was seeing that some devotees were watching Srila Prabhupada, although it was well past midnight. Some devotees were staying in the guest house. Mostly they were devotees from abroad, and they were staying in the guest house. They were looking at Srila Prabhupada while I was attending him. And I was thinking, today so many devotees are just waiting to have some opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada, be with Srila Prabhupada. They came all the way from America and Europe just to be with Srila Prabhupada. And I was thinking that now when Srila Prabhupada has so many devotees eagerly waiting to serve him, I have this good fortune to be with him and render some service to him. While when Srila Prabhupada went to America, there was nobody to attend him, nobody to be with him. He was all by himself. And he underwent so many difficulties those days. So that feeling became very overwhelming, and I was thinking that why couldn't I be with Srila Prabhupada in those days when there was nobody with Srila Prabhupada. And I just told him, I was massaging him from his back, and Srila Prabhupada's body was so delicate and it became quite frail, but his body was very soft. Prabhupada's body was extremely soft and tender. Like, I can still feel that softness. And there was not much flesh in his body. He became quite thin. And this is before Srila Prabhupada went to London. I'm just recalling those days, just as they are coming to my memory. And it's not quite chronological. This was when Prabhupada's health condition was improving after being treated by Banamali Kaviraj, and he was getting stronger and he was planning to go to the West. It was during those days. But still, Srila Prabhupada's body had very little flesh. It was no fat at all, and it was Prabhupada's body was very thin, and but very soft and tender. And it used to glow with a golden glow. There was something that was very, very unusual. Like, I haven't seen anybody, what to speak of, elderly person, even young person, having that kind of glow in his body. And probably if I had the spiritual vision, I could see the effulgence around Srila Prabhupada, the aura around Srila Prabhupada. And actually there was an aura around Srila Prabhupada. Even with a mundane vision, we could experience that. And so I was massaging Srila Prabhupada at the back, you know, while he was sitting on the bed. And then I just told Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I wish I was with you when you are alone in New York. And today there is so many devotees so eagerly waiting for an opportunity to serve you, and at a time like this I have this inconceivable good fortune to serve you, although I came very newly to the movement. But I wish I could have been with you when you were in New York in those days, early days, when there was no one with you. Prabhupada just remained silent for a short while. He didn't say anything. And then Prabhupada told me, I was never alone. Krishna was always with me. And I felt so embarrassed. I realized that here is the pure devotee of Krishna. Krishna takes delight in holding this personality in his arms. And who I am thinking this personality to be. Like, as if he needed my help, he needed our service. Krishna was taking care of him all the time. And I remained quiet. Prabhupada also didn't say anything after that. And I became joyfully aware of the fact that Srila Prabhupada did not need any one of us. It is simply out of his causeless mercy that he came to this material nature, and he is allowing us to render some service. It is for our benefit that he is creating this good fortune for us. He is a completely spiritual personality. He is from the spiritual sky. He is absolutely transcendental, and he doesn't need anything from this material nature because he doesn't belong to this material nature. As I mentioned, at nights I used to get these wonderful experiences with Srila Prabhupada, and just being with him. And in one such night, I was massaging. I was with Srila Prabhupada and massaging Srila Prabhupada. That time I think I was massaging Srila Prabhupada's head. Prabhupada also was sitting up on the bed. And it was past midnight. And from a distance, there was a sound of kirtan coming. I didn't notice that at first. And Srila Prabhupada just told me, see, this is India. This is spiritual India. There is kirtan everywhere. And that India must be revived. People are forgetting what an inconceivable wealth they have received due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This country is so blessed, but in the age of Kali, India has become the first target of Kali, because Kali knew that unless and until it gets control over India, it will not be able to spread his influence all over the world. Therefore, Kali has attacked India, but still India has its spiritual wealth, spiritual culture, and Kali's influence is only on the surface. If we go a little deeper, if we just remove that influence of Kali that is in the surface, then we'll be able to revive the spiritual culture of India. And then he said that when India becomes Krishna conscious, the whole world will automatically become Krishna conscious. And it was such a wonderful prediction. And I could see that Srila Prabhupada had such hope. That also reminds me, one of the first lectures of Srila Prabhupada, I heard of Srila Prabhupada in Bengali. I heard many English lectures of Srila Prabhupada, but this one, Bengali lecture, Prabhupada went to a program near Mayapur in Mahesh Pandit's Sripat in Chakda, and Prabhupada was emphasizing that those who were born in the land of India, Mahaprabhu instructed them to spread Krishna consciousness, to take up the responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered them that Amar Aggai Guru Haiya. He just said, Bharat Bhumite Hoilo Manushya Janma Jar Janma Sartha Kori Karu Paro Upokar. Those who are born in the land of India, they must make their life successful by benefiting others. And then he explained how to benefit others. He said, Jare Dekho Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh. Whomever you see, you instruct him about Krishna, speak to him about Krishna. And Amar Aggai Guru Hoiya Taru Ei Desh. On my order, you become a spiritual master and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, deliver the world, Tarvai Desh. So, those days I was just a new devotee. In 77, Srila Prabhupada came to Mayapur and he went to this program in Mahesh Pandit's Sripat. It was the place of Mahesh Pandit, an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many people came. It was a village. And there Srila Prabhupada was inspiring everyone to take up Krishna consciousness movement and spread this movement all over the world. And Prabhupada told that I am one Indian, I spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. What will happen when all the Indians take up the responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness? So it is very important for the Indians, instead of imitating the West and trying to collect garbage from the West, garbage of the West, they should take up this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Then only the world will experience the real benefit. Then the materialistic culture will disappear, the sinful life will disappear, and Krishna consciousness will be established, and then the golden age will be established. This is also Prabhupada's prediction, that when Krishna consciousness spreads all over the world, the golden age will be established in the middle of the age of Kali. For 10,000 years, Krishna consciousness movement will be established on this planet. And people everywhere, in every town and village, will chant the holy name of the Lord. They'll become devotees of the Lord. And we cannot even imagine what's going to happen to the world at that time. The world will experience the greatest prosperity. And people will become submerged in an ocean of joy. this materialistic culture has established some sort of prosperity in this world today. Some materialistic prosperity. People have so much. Everyone is practically experiencing abundance. But internally, they all are empty. They all are suffering. They are all are miserable. But when Krishna consciousness is established, they'll have the material prosperity. At the same time, they will have the internal joy. It will happen. Mahaprabhu's prediction is not going to go in vain. It will happen. When Srila Prabhupada came all over the world, a wonderful, wonderful time, a wonderful situation prevailed everywhere because of Srila Prabhupada's presence. Krishna consciousness movement was spreading in most effective way. People all over the world were accepting Krishna consciousness. But after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, there has been a decline. And we are seeing the temples in the West used to be filled with devotees. Those days, most of the devotees in ISKCON were Western devotees. But now, there is a decline in the West. There are very few devotees in the temples. Sometimes, I heard someone jokingly mention that in some temples in the West, nowadays, there are more deities than devotees. It's a very unfortunate phase that we are going through. The movement, our movement is facing some sort of difficulties and there's a decline. And it is due to Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, due to Srila Prabhupada's absence, a void has been created. Now we have to fill up that void. We have to push this movement forward. In temples in the West, I remember many temples, there used to be hundreds of devotees. And Mangalarati used to be so ecstatic with hundreds of devotees bouncing in ecstasy, jumping up and down in ecstasy with the kirtan. Same with Guru Puja and deity greetings. But now, where all those devotees are, unfortunately, they have drifted away from Krishna consciousness. But we need to revive this movement, and the revival of this movement will come when the sincere devotees of Srila Prabhupada take up this mission to spread this movement effectively all over the world. And personally, I think that the Indians will have to play a very important role. The West responded so wonderfully because of the divine arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for Srila Prabhupada's appearance there. But now, the future of the movement greatly depends upon the Indians, the involvement of the Indians. So that's why Mahaprabhu said, Bharat Bhumite Hoilo Manushya Janmajar. Those who are born in the holy land of India must take up this responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Because it's natural for them. They're born in this culture. In the West, a very special kind of situation was necessary to induce them to accept Krishna consciousness. But that's not the case with the Indians. All they have to do is give up this contaminating effect of the materialistic culture that is so effectively spreading all over the world today. So abominably spreading all over the world. And as a result of that, people are becoming degraded, people are becoming sinful, people are becoming atheistic. Now we have to revive that culture, Krishna conscious culture. And it's a big task, but somewhere we have to start, somewhere we have to effectively implement the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and induce people, inspire people to take up this responsibility. We are seeing wherever effective preaching is going on, people are responding most wonderfully. In India, many, many young, educated people are joining this movement. They are committing themselves completely. They are giving up their bright prospects for their future. And they are accepting Krishna consciousness. And so that shows the youth of India, if we approach them properly, they will respond. Krishna consciousness movement will spread. And the youth have to become inspired to take to this movement in order to spread this movement effectively all over the world. Because it's the youth who make things happen. So the youth, if the youth force, educated, intelligent youth are mobilized with the motive, with the ideals of Krishna consciousness, then we cannot imagine what may happen all over the world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada had great expectation out of India. And he was telling me that at that night, that the future of this movement greatly is lying in the involvement of the Indians. And at that time it sounded a little strange to me, because those days most of the ISKCON devotees were actually from the West, and there were very few Indian devotees. And Srila Prabhupada was telling at that time that the Indians need to become involved. Prabhupada mentioned that everyone is coming, but the Indians are not coming. He was lamenting, the Indians are not coming. So we have to motivate the Indians, inspire the Indians, and for that we have to preach. We have to approach them, we have to make them understand that this is the goal of their lives. And we have to make them understand that this is what's going to benefit the world in the most effective way. Generally, they don't want to get involved, and they are enamored by the West, because they feel that this is so glorious, this is so glamorous, and this is what one needs to do. But now we have to make them understand that this life that they are leading today is not really going to give them the ultimate satisfaction. Some of them are realizing it. Actually, many of them are realizing it. There is a lot of disappointment and frustration among the youth. But now we have to give them the positive alternative, Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.